Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your Chief Lounge Lizard, and your host for this episode of the show. Today, we are going to be talking about Super Smash Bros., the game that won the Wii U Game of the Year and an awful lot of hearts this year. And joining me in the lounge today is Billy White, who is a big fan of the game. I would dare say an expert on it. Billy, welcome to the lounge today.
Glad to be here, John.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you're here. We actually have a lot of people who wanted to participate in the show today, but for one reason or another couldn't do it. So I'm glad that you were able to show up. Now, you actually wrote the review for Super Smash Brothers, and you gave it 4.5 Gin Gems out of 5. So almost a perfect game. And it also ended up then going on to win the Wii U Game of the Year. In what was, I thought, was going to be a fairly close contest, because there were a lot of good stuff that came out for the Wii U this year, but Super Smash Bros. Seems to have crushed its competition fairly easily. So I thought it would be neat to do a show. Sometimes we do single episode shows. We did it for, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 and things like that. When a game comes out that is somewhat different, or it's got that thing, you know, like if you're a Hollywood guy and you're looking for a new star, you know, it's like it's got that something that's hard to quantify, and Super Smash Brothers has that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it definitely does.
And I mean, you paid like a couple hundred dollars to get like an 8-way controller and all this stuff. So, I mean, you invested in this game. So what is it about? I know it has a big history, but let's start with just the newest version, you know, the Super Smash Brothers, the one that won Game of the Year. I mean, what was it about that game that had you invest, you know, $100 or so to get the special controller or the special version and everything? What was it that made you go out and do that? Because that's a lot of money. I mean, that's like half the price of a console these days.
Yeah, it was. Well, for me, it was because of my history with the series that I was willing to spend so much money with it, because I've been playing it ever since they came out. And it's not a stretch to say that anyone who takes Super Smash Bros. Games seriously want to play it with GameCube controllers. It's the best controller there is for the game. It really is. And that's why Nintendo, you know, went and made the whole, oh, let's make an adapter and let's release brand new GameCube controllers just for this game. Because they've even said, yeah, we're not going to include compatibility on GameCube controllers for other new games coming out, just Smash Brothers. And I didn't want to have to go through the effort of like relearning new controls, because whenever I'm holding a GameCube controller and playing the game, it's just so natural. I don't have to worry about it. You know, I don't stop and think, oh, I should do this. No, I do it. It's instinct.
That makes sense. Now, how different? I assumed when you were buying the controllers, I thought it was just so that you could have eight people play it at the same time. But you're saying it's an actual different controller than the new controller.
Well, yeah, it's. I mean, well, you've got like the Wii U controllers and stuff like that you can use. But the new GameCube controllers, I mean, they are the old GameCube controllers, like right down to like weight and everything about them. The only difference is they've got a lot longer of a cord, which is actually great for when you've got like eight people packed around a TV. And the adapter made sense for me because I still had, I think, three GameCube controllers laying around. So I was like, oh, I'll just buy that, you know, big pack. It's got the adapter. It's got a new controller. That puts me up to four GameCube controllers, you know. And then from there, I had like, you know, whoever came over. It's funny. This is one of those cases where the people that were visiting my household had to fight for GameCube controllers, because Nintendo's first party Wii U controller was kind of being treated like that third party controller back whenever we were all kids and nobody wanted it.
That's funny. So everybody had their muscle memory, if you will, on the GameCube controller on how to play this game.
Yeah, definitely.
And they did. Oh, that's really cool. So, let's get into a little bit about the history. So, I think there I mean, you know, I'm kind of an outsider looking in because I, you know, I don't play a lot of games on the Wii U, and I don't have this rich history with the Super Smash Brothers going back. So, but I think there's a couple elements in play that make this game pretty amazing. I mean, obviously, we'll get into the characters because that's kind of cool. But let's look at the history. So how far back does Super Smash Brothers go for you? When was your first Super Smash Brothers game that you were able to start playing?
I actually had the first one that came out for the N64 was my first experience with it.
Okay, and now N64, that was a fun console. I mean, the Mario on that was really cool, and so forth. So when the original Super Smash Brothers came out, I mean, for you, was it instant? Was it like, wow, this is one of the best games that Nintendo's ever put out, or you know, how did you get into it, and what was your first impressions of the game?
How did I get into it? Well, let's be honest, I was like, I don't know, 10 at the time, maybe somewhere around there. And it was, I think my parents bought it just, I don't even know why. I think they basically, they saw like Mario and Link on the cover and they were like, oh, hey, our kids have games like this, you know, and we'll buy this for, I don't remember if it was Christmas or a birthday present. I honestly can't remember. I don't remember exactly how it got into our household, but I know that we had a copy and it was one of those things I just sat around and played all the time. I played, you know, I knew Link from Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time had come out, and that was my first Zelda game, so I knew Link. You know, we had Mario 64 because everyone had Mario 64, so there's Mario. I know Mario. Of course I know Luigi. You know, I've been playing Nintendo games since like original Nintendo, so I know all these characters, and it was just really fun to play them. There were like a few oddballs, like that was my first time ever seeing Captain Falcon because he was part of racing games. I mean, you didn't ever really see him out of his ship or anything, but it was a cool introduction to all these characters, and it really, like, I don't know, it was just fun to sit around and play as all these characters. Like, most of these characters I already knew, so getting to run around and play as them and then just beat the snot out of my friends and stuff like that, that was like the greatest feeling ever as a kid.
that's pretty cool. Now, because the interesting thing about Super Smash Brothers is there are a lot of other fighting games out there. I know Todd Hargos is working on a review of Mortal Kombat X right now and so forth, and obviously, when you look at it from a distance, I mean, you know, I'm not really into fighting games too much, but when I look at Super Smash Brothers, I see, you know, a bunch of cartoon characters. I see Kirby, you know, and so forth. And you know, when I look at Mortal Kombat X, I see, you know, guys ripping out each other's spleens and stuff, you know, and I'm like, to me, it would seem like a game like Mortal Kombat would be more of the fighting game, but that's not necessarily the case, is it? I mean, how rich of a fighting game is Super Smash Brothers? I mean, if it was just these characters and all you were doing was hitting the X button, it probably wouldn't be as popular as it is right now, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely wouldn't be. Smash Brothers is it's simple to get into. Anyone can pick up the game and play it, and that's because, unlike, you know, a traditional fighter like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, you're not doing quarter circles and half circles and button combinations to cause moves. Instead, you hit over B, up B, down B, so access to the move set is very easy. How you use the move set is completely different, and the games have always had these extra bits of, how would I phrase it? Like extra bits of details, things you can do. Like, even dating way back to the original Super Smash Brothers for 64, you know, everyone I know, we played it. We didn't really think about being overly technical with our fighting. But there were all sorts of little things you could do, like press this button right before you hit the ground and you'll get up quicker, like just a fraction of a second, but you'll get up a fraction of a second quicker than you would have normally. And there's just little things like that that really, even back then, helped make it a very technical fighter, and it just continued to evolve and get more complex elements, especially with the GameCube Super Smash Brothers Melee, because that introduced directional air dodging, where you could actually choose, like, you know, when you dodged an air, it wasn't just you dodged and stayed in place. You could dodge down, up, left, right, and that ultimately led to wave dashing, which was a technique where you'd basically jump up in the air very slightly, very, very slightly, wave dash down at an angle, well, dodge down at an angle, and when you hit the ground, you'd slide. And your character, they'd keep that momentum from the dodge, but you'd be sliding across the ground, and you could do smash attacks, which are typically attacks that you're not allowed to move for. You could do those while sliding across the ground, and it gave you extra movement, and it made some characters faster than they were typically for wave dashing. It's a very like competitive thing to use.
Wow, that's pretty cool. The fighting engine then, so you're saying me, who I haven't really played the game before, I could pick it up, I could start doing it and playing it, and, you know, I mean, obviously against you, I'd probably get beat up, but, you know, I could handle my own against the AI and kind of like start to like the game just from zero experience.
Yeah, completely. It's very, very well done for that. And The further the games get on, the better the AI has gotten. And this newest one, you know, Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS, is easily the one with the best AI that'll actually really challenge you, especially with amiibos, which actually are smarter than the AI in the game.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up those amiibos. But just to be clear, so it's got a lot of simple moves, but then it's got a lot of complex moves that are fairly easy to figure out. So it's not like you know, I saw some move combination. You know, you get the strategy guide for like Street Fighter or something like that, and it's like, you know, you push circle square, triangle, left right, you know, X, and he does, you know, some special move. It's not like that though.
No, it's nothing that complex. You can completely play the game without learning about wave dashing and wombo combos and all these other advanced techniques. You don't need those to play. And while they're used in the professional tournaments, you can even go to local tournaments, and you're not going to run into people that use that. That's really a high-end thing. Me and my friends have gone to a few local tournaments, and there's almost nobody that knows how to do wave dashing or anything like that. I tried picking it up, and honestly, I had it down for a bit in Melee, but it's one of those things. I stopped playing when, you know, Brawl came out, and Brawl removed wave dashing, so now I'm like rusty at Melee. I couldn't do wave dashing anymore accurately to benefit me in a fight. So the average player is not going to use it. It's there for advanced players, but average players don't even need to worry about it, honestly.
It's interesting. That sounds really cool. Now, the characters, I think that's probably another thing that's into it. The Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U, it came out, it had 50 characters. In comparison, Brawl had 39, and Melee had 26, which is still a huge amount. I mean, so are those characters pretty much available right from the get-go, right? You don't have to – do you have to unlock them, or they're not like tied to a DLC or something, or
they're all, not all of them are available at first. Like starting in the original Smash Brothers, you had six fighters, I think, and you could unlock an additional four. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, that sounds right. And Melee, actually, you had to do a lot to earn your extra fighters and stuff like that. Brawl, not as much. And this newest Super Smash Brothers is easily the one that's just, you come in and you have the majority of characters already. And I got my copy, and I knew I had friends. It was Thanksgiving weekend. I knew I had a bunch of friends coming up, and we were all going to, you know, pack around the TV and play. So within a night, I sat down and grabbed all of the additional characters just to have them unlocked for when people showed up.
So you had to, like, you have to win, like, so many fights.
Yeah, do, like, a certain little thing. So I just went in and did all that real quick and unlocked all the characters. And there are more characters coming out for the Wii U Super Smash Brothers. Mewtwo was just released as DLC recently. I don't think he's available to everyone yet. I think Club Nintendo members got first dibs on him. But he'll be released. Nintendo has announced Lucas from the Mother series will be returning. He was in Brawl. And a mine of data from the newest update from Mewtwo has shown that it looks like Ryu from Street Fighter and Roy from the Fire Emblem series will also be making an appearance as DLC characters, along with maybe some more characters.
Oh, wow. Well, that'd be pretty awesome. How's the balance of the characters? Are all the characters fairly balanced? I mean, or is there ones that are more powerful than others? I mean, you know, is Kirby as tough as Mario? I mean, how does that work? You know, and there are some characters, like you said, like Link is basically a combat oriented character from his game, you know? So, I mean, how does he compare with, you know, somebody who isn't necessarily a melee type character from their game? Are there certain ones that people want to do? Or are they all the same? What's the difference between the characters?
For the majority of players, the characters are pretty much equal. There have been a few balancing issues in the past. For example, Nintendo's newest update for Smash Brothers fixed Diddy Kong, because Diddy Kong just was way too powerful. He did too much damage. He had too much knockback on his attacks, and he was just a threat. He was really powerful. So they fixed that. Most of the characters, though, you can just jump in and play as them, and you're gonna basically almost always be pretty even. You're going to be pretty even. If you get into like tournaments and stuff, you get into like tiered characters where, you know, people will be like, you know, these characters are in tier 1 and tier 2, and, you know, tournaments will pretty much always have people playing tier 1 characters. The way they combo might be a little bit better, things like that, but overall every character is basically equal. There are differences, and especially when you get into, like, you know, people's personal play styles and stuff like that, you're going to find some characters just don't work for you. I have quite a few characters that I suck with. I can't make them work. I can do like a little bit here and there, but they're just not characters for me.
Okay, makes sense. Now, as far as single player, people playing, you know, the game together, human players, you can have 8 people playing at the same time?
Yeah, you can. Specific maps. There's specific maps that are set aside for 8 players, and they're the same maps that are like available to 4-player matches, but the 8-player matches are like, well, these maps are really big, so you can play on these ones, but you can't play on these maps because they're really small and 8 people just wouldn't fit.
That makes sense, I guess. So my question is, I saw somebody playing it, I saw somebody playing it. I think it was a convention or something. There were like 8 people playing it, and I was trying to watch it a little bit, and it was just like, man, I had no idea what was going on, and I had no idea how the guys that were playing knew what was going on. In an 8-player brawl like that, are you really like able to like concentrate on what the heck is going on in the game?
It can get pretty hectic, especially with – and this was one of my small complaints about this game – when you launch, like when you hit a character and launch them really far away and stuff like that, or they die, there's a lot of like explosions that come in from the side of the screen and smoke and fire trails and stuff. And it's so much that, especially in 8-player matches, it can become really distracting and hard to keep track of your character. We don't have as much of a problem with like my group of friends, because when we play, we all have our own names, because Smash Brothers allows you to register a name, and you can set like your controls under that name, and it'll keep stats for how good you've done as a player under that name. So we've all got our names that pop up, and, you know, it's easier to keep track of yourself whenever, you know, it says, you know, Billum over here, or, you know, Nexalus over here. You know, we've got all these names, and it's just easier to do.
Right. That makes sense. Now, part of the success of this game, of this series, is the fact that it's a really simple interface with a complex underlying thing, but one that you can figure out. So, I mean, all those moves and stuff that you were talking about, as far as you know, the wombo combos and all that stuff, if you want to figure it out, you can kind of figure it out. It's not like, because like some of the games where you have to push, like where you have 16 button combos to do something, there's really no way that you would figure that out on your own, unless, you know, you basically get a magazine or something, or somebody tells you how to do it, you know. But this, it seems like you can figure out most of the combos and things that you can do on your own, right?
Yeah, and honestly, most of these combos or like advanced techniques that people figure out were never actually like really meant to be part of the game. Wave dashing for Melee was basically discovered by accident, and people were like, oh, holy crap, you can use this to your advantage in a fight by, you know, accelerating across the ground by jumping slightly. And it's the same with perfect pivoting, which is a similar move. It's like the wave dash for the new Super Smash Brothers that's out. And these are advanced techniques that are in the engine that Nintendo necessarily didn't know about, because they kind of just take advantage of exploits. And that's why, for example, when Brawl came out, Nintendo specifically removed wave dashing from the game, because they were like, no, that made the game inaccessible to casual players going to tournaments, because all these people were wave dashing and it was beyond them, and it was never meant to be there in the first place. And there's arguments over that, you know, should it have been kept? Serious players say yes, casual players were like, no, I'm glad it's gone. So it's not actually like Nintendo creates these advanced techniques. They kind of just put the engine in there, and these advanced techniques are discovered by the players.
Wow, that's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. And then as far as the characters, I mean, you get over 50 if you unlock them all in the most modern game. And these are all characters from Nintendo basically's repertoire somewhere, right?
For the most part, there are a few third-party characters. This newest one, there's Mega Man from Capcom, Pac-Man from Namco. Gosh, there's another one. Sonic from, you know, Sega, of course, is there. And that's similar to Brawl. Brawl had Snake from Metal Gear Solid, which was really, really awesome. And they also had Sonic as well. So they add third-party characters in. That's kind of been one of their newer ventures with the series. And it looks like, with this news, these rumors that Ryu is going to be appearing as a DLC character, he's obviously going to be a third-party character. So they're branching out, but the majority of the characters do, in fact, come from Nintendo games.
Oh, cool. So your favorite... who's your favorite character, Billy? Who do you play a lot? Or who do you like playing?
Dang, that's a hard question. I'd say Ness, actually. I've played Ness since the original. He's been one of my mains. He's never... Mm-hmm. He's unfortunately never a highly tiered character, so he doesn't get a lot of tournament play, but Ness is usually my main, and if I'm not playing Ness, I'm either playing Samus or Zero Suit Samus.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. Now, the amiibo thing, we just keep talking about all these cool elements of the game, and now here's yet another one. I mean, obviously, they can go into other games and so forth, but it almost seems like they're, like, perfectly suited to fit in with Smash Brothers, right?
Yeah, completely. I mean, they do have other amiibos now that they're releasing for, like, the Mario Party games and stuff like that. And amiibos do have uses in other games. And it's cool. You know, it's like buying physical DLC that sits on your shelf and looks cool and can also be used in the game. But they're definitely geared towards Smash.
So you get one of these, and it's like basically picking up another character for the game. So that it kind of is a way to bring in a DLC, right?
Well, it's not actually like another character. The statues are always of characters that always exist in the Smash Brothers games. And like, for example, in Mario Kart, if you tap your amiibo on there and everything, you get a costume for a Miis that make you look like that character. So you kind of get to play as that character in other games, and they do other little unlock things and stuff. But when it comes to Smash Brothers, it's really what it is the game gives you an AI. There's an AI stored on that amiibo, a computer, and you fight it. And as you fight it, it picks up how you fight, and it starts to fight like you until the point it gets you keep fighting it, and you feed it like you can feed it power-ups and stuff like that, so that it'll have a focus on attack over defense or speed over defense, things like that. And it ultimately allows you to create this just devastatingly powerful AI that really, really will give hardcore players a run for their money. I've fought mine, and while it has a few, like, dumb computer moments, for the most part, it's a really challenging fight, honestly.
Oh wow! So you get the amiibo, and it's not a playable character, but it's a fightable character.
Yeah, it's basically your sparring buddy. It's your own little sparring buddy that will pick up traits from you. Like, I have a Samus amiibo, and I've trained it up. It fights like I do. It does a lot of, you know, bomb jumping in the air. It'll do a lot of charge shots, things like that. And it fights a lot like I do. And I've seen other people that have trained, like, you know, the really rare Marth amiibos that nobody can get a hold of. And I watched this guy on YouTube, Pro Jared, talk about his amiibo, because he had a Marth amiibo. And he went through and he trained it, and when he trained it, he specifically, after he would kill someone, he would do a taunt. And I never do taunts, that's never been my thing, but he would do a taunt. And it got to the point after a few fights with his amiibo would kill somebody and start doing that taunt afterwards to, it, like, mimic him and started playing more like him.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
It is. It's really neat.
Wow, so you can create your AI to kind of be like you. And then when you have like one of these 8-player matches or whatever, you can bring your amiibo in as one of the players basically to fight along with everybody else, or
yeah, you can completely add amiibos in. We've had matches before, and we've got 4 amiibos here. Where I'm not quite as crazy about collecting them as Todd is, but. I've got 4 of them, and sometimes when my friends come over, they'll bring their amiibos, and we'll even do things where we won't even play. We'll just set our amiibos down and be like, you know, let's see which of our amiibos is better. For example, I have a friend that has a Samus amiibo, so we'll both put our Samus amiibos in to see who trained their amiibo better, like, you know, and then it's kind of like, you get bragging rights, like, well, I obviously have the better fighting style, because my amiibo won, and stuff like that.
You know, that would be a fascinating tournament. I know you talked about going to these tournaments, but you know what would be a fascinating tournament? It's just to have a tournament of amiibos where people bring their trained amiibos in to see which one is the best, you know, just fighting but not actually having a human fight.
It's funny that you mentioned that. Shortly after this came out, there was a tournament that somebody took their Fox amiibo to, and it was human players, and they brought this Fox amiibo to this big tournament, and it took 3rd place.
No way.
Yeah, just completely wiped the floor with all of these people and took 3rd place, and everybody's like, oh, it's an amiibo, I won't have to worry about it, those are just those little AI things Nintendo made, and they just got their butts kicked by it.
Wow, so that is really awesome. I think so. Okay, so we're getting down. Let's break this down. So Billy, so obviously this game is super popular. It's popular among Wii U players. I mean, I think we mentioned before, it's a really good reason to buy a Wii U if you don't have one. I mean, it's one of those type of games. You know, it's kind of like a Halo for the Xbox 360 was, you know. It was like, it's a reason to get the console almost. So as far as the thing, if you had to pick 3 things, I mean, what are the 3 things that make this game stand out special versus all the other ones that are out there? And noting also that Nintendo had a very good year for the Wii U, but what was it that made Smash Brothers special? If somebody asked you, you know, why is this such a great game? What would you tell them? What were the top 3?
I'd say the characters, obviously, because, you know, it's a great cast of characters. There are so many. You're going to get, like, your big-named characters. You know, you've got Mario, you've got Link, you've got Samus and Kirby. You know, these really identifiable characters. But then Nintendo takes it further, and they add in all these extra characters, like Ness. Ness only appeared in Earthbound on the Super NES. And while I really like that game, it's kind of a cult, you know, cult classic. It doesn't have a lot of interest around it. And they added Little Mac from the original Punch-Out and the dog from Duck Hunt. Is in this new one. You can play as him.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they've got this like great cast of characters for you to play as, and that's definitely one of the reasons. And I'd say the other is just the combat in general, because it is so easily accessible, but it's not so hard. It's not so like hard to master that it turns players off. I've been playing a lot with one of my cousins, because he's been getting into it, and him and my brother-in-law, We play together, and both of them started out playing where I would fight them by myself and those two on a team, and I would just destroy them. But now it's gotten to the point where they're both getting better, and I can't do that anymore. So they're playing more and more, and they're getting better and better at the game. But it wasn't hard for them to get into at first, because they didn't have to learn, like you said, you know, all these advanced button combinations. It's not like, you know, to do your final Smash, all you have to do is collect the Smash Orb, hit the B button, and there's your final Smash. So the combat is definitely another reason it's interesting. And my final reason would actually just be the experiences. You never quite know the play experience. You never know what's going to happen. I'm personally a fan of everyone sitting around together in a living room and playing. I've always liked that. That's, you know, I like the human interaction more, the name calling, the bluffing, the just doing all these kind of things. I've always liked it, and it's a great experience. And when you get that many people together, you have so many things that can happen in the game that you wouldn't expect to happen. Like, for example, I just played last weekend, actually, with a bunch of people, and one of them was Duck Hunt Dog, and Duck Hunt Dog has this move where he kicks a can out, and he can continue to, like, press the B button, and the can will kind of bounce up into the air so many times as he presses it until it explodes. And I was playing as Samus, and he dropped the can right beside me, and I thought, oh, crap, jump. And I started to jump away from him, and just perfectly, he perfectly bounced that can up behind me at a diagonal angle and just pegged me with it before I ever got a chance to get away from it. And it was just one of those really, really cool moments that even though I got killed by it, I was just, I had to stop playing just out of like sheer amazement and laughing at the fact something like that actually happened. So those moments, those experiences are what really help the game. Or like, we've got a friend with bad luck. Every time he plays, it seems, he'll go to do a smash attack and a bomb will spawn right in front of him and he'll smack it and kill it. Happens all the time to him. He's got like the worst D20 of life I've ever seen.
That's hilarious. You know, and I've always been a big advocate of the console's power. You know, we've done shows, you know, 15 years ago about what's better, consoles or PC gaming, you know, and so forth. And, you know, there are a lot of arguments on both sides, but it's real hard to get for PC to get over the argument of the ability of consoles to bring a bunch of people together in the living room, you know, around a couch, you know, to play a game together, you know, have that shared experience. And that's really cool that a fighting game can do that, because, you know, that's probably one of the few ones that can do that, certainly at that level, you know, so definitely cool there. And there's not enough games like that.
No, there isn't. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't. I mean, and I'm hoping that, you know, these next generation consoles will have more like that. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously the graphics and everything are cool and stuff, but, you know, I miss my PlayStation 2 getting around and playing, you know, Dungeons and Dragons games with friends around the computer, you know, so, around the console.
I think that's Nintendo's biggest draw, is they really do build games for, you know, having people together, sitting around together. They promote that, and like you said, it's a great feeling that's kind of dying with modern games. So it's nice to see mm-hmm. one company really trying to stick to that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Billy. I appreciate you taking time away from your busy gaming schedule. I saw your editorial about how you're catching up on some of those games. So thanks for stopping by the lounge today. Appreciate it.
Glad to.
And one of these days I look forward to playing Smash Brothers with you, or maybe just fighting your AI. It would be just as scary. So, all right. Everybody, let us know. We're actually going to do an editorial about characters that we would love to see added to Super Smash Brothers. And these can be crazy characters. So, you know, it can be I would like to see Hitman, Agent 47 added to it. I think that would be awesome. That's going to be mine. A little preview there. But we're going to get the whole staff's thoughts on that. So that'll be – look for that in the editorial section real soon. You can find us on Facebook at Game Industry. You can find us at – we also have a new YouTube channel, which is pretty cool. So check that out. We're putting a lot of Let's Plays there. And that's at YouTube/Game Industry News. So check us out there. Let us know what you guys think. Obviously, Smash Brothers is a fun game and has a big fan base. So let us know what games or what you like about Smash Brothers. And if you've got a good enough response, we'll add it to the next show. So, Billy, thanks for joining me today.
Glad to.
And we'll see you right here next time at the Gin Lounge. Until then, let's hope that all of your AIs don't get too powerful and take over the world. Which would be kind of neat to see a Samus AI running the world, I guess. But for now, let's avoid that. Take care, everyone.